Well, my thought today is going to be, where are you going? The sign that we have up there says, I must die, but when? I must meet God, but how? I'll live in eternity, but where? Where are we going? Where are you going? I want to think about it in this way. Of course, eternity, but I want to think about where we're going in this life. That will determine where we're at in eternity. We don't traverse eternity to find heaven. We traverse this life. And what we do in this life is going to determine where we end up. And so I want to think about where am I going in this life? The direction that I set now, we've heard this in the meeting. I've heard quite a bit about this. The direction that I set now is going to determine where I end up. I talk quite a bit with my wife about these things. I recognize I'm getting older, and I've looked at those that have went before me, both good, bad, all, just as a lesson. I've taken my mental notes of those that went before me, and there's some that I would like to be like. There's been some really good examples in my life, and I've looked at them and said, you know, I would really like to be like that. I've seen people get old and get cantankerous. I've seen people get old and bring trouble to their children, their wife. I've seen them do that, and I've looked at that and said, I really don't want to be that cantankerous old man. I don't want to end up like that. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how much control I'm going to have over that. But I would like to think that there would be some control. In other words, if I point my toes towards a certain direction, that's the way I'm going to be going. And I'd like to think that if I set in my heart and mind now to be kind, to be easygoing, to be easy to deal with, to do those kind of things, I would hope that the end of that thing would be a good place. And a lot of you probably, I know a lot of you would remember Brother Purvis, but probably a lot of you don't know Brother Harold Purvis. But Brother Harold Purvis was a man that I looked at, and I told him one time, I said, and he had Parkinson's, and so he would do that, and he got down at a time in his life. It was really tough on him physically and all this stuff. But I told Brother Purvis, I said, Brother Purvis, you're an example to me. I want to get old like you've got old. And he was like, Brother Marty, oh my, oh my. And I said, no, you have integrity. You still, I mean, he was a man that he looked good. He tried to present himself in a way that was admirable. He even with Parkinson's and all of that he did, he still presented himself in a way that had integrity all through it. He managed his life. He was a humble man. He didn't speak out of turn. He spoke well. You know what I'm saying? And I looked at that and I said, you know what? I'd like to be like Brother Purvis. When I get old, I'd like to be a man that has some integrity and do some things. And Lord, I know the Lord needs to help me because I got some ways about me. Like, for instance, my wife will say, well, usually if I say, honey, you're going to have to help me to do this because we don't always see ourselves. And she almost always will say, will you listen to me? I'll try, honey. I'm pointing my toes that way. This is what I want to do. And so she'll say in the middle of the day, I'll put some chocolate frosty down my shirt. And my wife will say, oh, honey, you can't go to service with it that way. And I'll say, yes, I can. Well, yeah, I sure can. She'll say, honey, you just don't, you want to do that. And what I'm saying is, I got an inclination that if I point my toes that way and keep getting older, you're going to see some old guy sitting around with stuff down his face and his shirt. And it's not going to resonate. And listen, I'm not throwing, you know what I'm saying here. I'm not being mean to anything. I'm saying that if there's a way for me to get somewhere, Lord, I want to go that way. I know if I start off that way, that I'm going to go that way. And it's the same thing when you get a little, you have, as you go through life, you get less and less inhibitions. Sometimes you don't have as much, consequences. Everybody looks over you type thing. And so you can do or say, and you get like that. And after a while, you can say anything off of the spur. And Lord, help me. I know I speak too quick sometimes. I want to point my toes in a different direction than that. I don't want to be just somebody that can just, whatever I say is legal. Whatever I think is legal. I can say that and not. Well, it might be legal, but it might not be very prudent, and it might not be very winning, and it might cause people heartache and trouble, and I don't want to be that old man. I know people do this, especially old men, they get trouble with their nose and they drive down the road with their mouth open. But I say to my wife, honey, if I knew my mouth was hanging open, I'd shut it. Just tell me, honey, you got your mouth. I want to be humble enough. I want my toes pointed in a way that when my wife says that, I can say, thank you. I mean, you know, that's hard sometimes because we take offense or something like that was a bad, but I asked my wife to do it, and my wife knows me well enough to say, honey, well, now if I tell you, are you going to want to? Yeah, that's my mind. That's my heart. That's what I want to do. I'm going somewhere. I don't know how much more going I've got, but in the time that I've got, I'm going somewhere. I've still got time that what I sow is going to come to harvest. I still have time to do something, and it's going to amount to something. So, Lord, help me if I can be to my family. My vision and idea to my family as I get older, that I would be a pliable person. Yes. That I would be someone that would be able to understand. Been in those kind of places before, and I've dreaded them in my life. I grew up as a child in a family, especially my mom's side of the family. They're all gone now. But they were so bitter to one another. They were so contentious with one another. Grandpa sitting in the living room grumping at grandma, and grandma grumping at this, and grandpa wasn't pliable with nobody, and seeing all that, and it made it hard on everybody, and it was difficult. And I look at that, especially at this place in my life, so I don't want to go there. I don't want to be that way. I want something different. And as was already stated in this service, the way you point your toes is the way you're going to be. You're going to end up that. You're going to end up way down the road that way somewhere. And what you take on in your life. So Lord, help us. It's always starting out in the direction that we go. We want our family to know God. I want my family to stay together. I want there to be success. I want our congregation at home to flourish spiritually. I want God to bless us here in this evil time with His presence. And do you know all of that has to do with the directions you're going to point your toes? Today, young people, especially for your young people, there's a lot of traversing possibly in your life, and a lot of events and a lot of things that can scar, that can leave a lifelong places in your life. A lot of this has to do with the decisions that's going to be made in the days to come. The direction. So where are we going? Well, which way are you aiming to go? So there's a scripture I want to start out with in Proverbs, the 8th chapter of Proverbs. This is a scripture that in the present world, I think of this scripture often because of the time that I've lived in this world. It seems so obvious of what some of the outcomes are going to be. But yet it seems like the multitudes don't see them. And I think and often to say to them, this very verse, 8th chapter starts off, doth not wisdom cry? Well, the answer is obviously yes, it cries. Yes. That's the answer to this. Does it not cry? Yes, it does. God set a way of life that we can look and say, where did that go in the last generation? It'll go that way this generation. Where did that turn out? I planted turnips. I didn't get squash. I planted corn. I didn't get no peas. I got what? Wisdom, does it not cry? Does it not stand and cry? Does it not teach our world? Do you really think the last generation that the world didn't work for them, but it'll work for me? I mean, do you really think that the world's going to save your home, your marriage? Do you really think that thing's going to work? It didn't work last time. It did. Does it not cry and say, listen to me, it says. Listen. It does stand in every place. It understanding put forth her voice, she standeth in the top of the high places. Sounds like it's easy to hear her. Well, if you're paying attention, I mean, if you're listening, yes, paying attention to it, it should be easy to. Well, it isn't hiding's the point. This isn't unknown stuff. This can be known. She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way of the places of the past. She cries at the gates. This is like it's saying, listen to how obvious this is. That where you go, where you're going is where you'll be. This makes more sense to my mind with the 7th chapter of Proverbs. But the 7th chapter of Proverbs is a, I'm going to read it, but it almost makes you ashamed to. I can read this in the privacy and kind of feel it, this chapter. But I think it's relevant. So I'm going to read some of the seventh chapter of Proverbs. My son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon the fingers, write them upon the tables of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. Now there's a reason why you're in this writing that the writer said this in the feminine, because it's about to go into the feminine idea on the negative here. So it's like saying, call wisdom your sister, your little sister. Call it your sister. Call it something you're going to covet and protect, and it's going to be important to you. It's going to be important to you. You're going to have it on hand. You're going to watch out for your sister. You're going to be devoted to that watching. That's my sister. That's somebody that needs a powerful watching. I'm going to watch after my sister. So call wisdom your sister. Keep her at your side. Keep her close by. Well, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. Well, the strange woman must not be a wise one. It must be the opposite. Represent all the foolish, all the wayward here. But it puts it in very obvious terms, so we're going to read it. That they keep you from the strange woman. For the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I look through my casement. Now I want you to get the picture of the writer here. They didn't have glass windows in the day, of course, and they had windows that would shut up to seal the house up, but they had peek holes. Okay, here's the vision. The guy's looking through one of the... So here's the vision. If you can get this, because it's kind of vivid to me. Somebody's paying attention. What's going on through there? And when I looked out, this is what I saw. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement. And behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man, void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way of her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Well, she is loud, stubborn. Her feet abideth not in her house. Now, is she without? Now, in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with the imprudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vow. Therefore, come I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. For the goodman is not at the home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not mine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Doth not wisdom cry? Now, that's, again, I can't read that without feeling a little bit of shame. He went by the corner. I got a little gadget here. I stayed away from the little gadget for a long time. This, I suppose, was what they'd call an Apple iPhone. Probably every child over 2 or 3 years old probably would outdo me on this thing. But it's a very interesting thing. I'm going to tell you some of what this is. I got a little clock thing on here. The clock runs all the time. I don't even wear a watch anymore. I got this in my pocket. Time's up here on the top anyway. But I got a little clock there. This is my maps. There's maps on this right here. This is actually a camera. I can take pictures with this. It's a video camera. I can video things with this. It's a calendar. Got a calendar. Years ago when I traveled, I would take my Bible and all my resource books. I'd carry a whole big bag of stuff. That's all I carry anymore, because this is my songbook, Bible, and concordance, dictionary too, all included. This is an amazing device. I got a little sonic button here. It hooks into my hearing aid, so I can change my hearing aid settings without being cumbersome with my ear. It's pretty amazing. This is it's a very fascinating thing here of all what it can do. I won't list near what all this thing can do. I'm sure I'll have to miss a lot. It's amazing. I won't do it, but probably if I had good signal within a few seconds, I could log into my bank. This is my bank book anymore. Total bank book. You pay your bills on here too. I can send money to foreign places with this. So it's all that. This is my contact. A lot of times with my sons, if I want to contact them, I just can leave them a message. They'll pick it up even at work after a while. They'll say, hey, Dad, what you doing? I mean, it's an amazing device all this is. This is like going to town. Well, I mean, all of this stuff is amazing. All of this stuff on here. And like I said, somebody wants to send me a picture, they can send it through this. Somebody needs to get me a message or a notice. I get notice comes up on there. Back during on the day of my birthday, when he was driving out here, I was amazed at how many people was contacting me. So I didn't even know they knew it was my birthday. And you know what ended up happening? It notified them that it was my birthday. So in a way, it's all of these things. You can go to the corner. I can say, honey, I'm going to the bank. But there's a lot of corners here. This is the easiest way to go to the corner that was expressed here by the man without understanding. I don't know what all to say about this in the day and time. We probably all function our lives around this. But you can't tell me that this ain't a very dangerous thing. We really need to deal with that. I'm not talking collectively. I'm going to say, where are you pointing your toes?
That's right.
Because this is a very valuable tool. But within that value, the young man goes down to the corner. And where does he go? Where is that going to take you? If you're looking to say, I want to be somebody that you can count on, right? I want to be somebody that I was so challenged with our prayer service this time for our healing. And I was so at the ones that had needs. And my heart was running to, Lord, can we pray the prayer of faith? Can we do it? God, are you going to hear us? You know, I'm serious. Well, Lord, I want to go somewhere with this. I want to be something where you can come to and say, what's your experience in this? What can the Lord do for you in this? I don't want to be a shambles in this. I don't want to come down at the shell at the end of this thing. I want to come down that way. I want to point my toes in the right direction here with this. I know this is a dangerous thing. I don't hardly know all the ways to control this thing. I just don't hardly know. All I know is that there needs to be a real sanctification in this thing. There really needs to be something that's going to keep us in this time. You're going to have an experience with the Lord and a dead set desire that I'm going to set my face like a flint. I am determined to get to this place. I'm determined. I'm going to have to function in this life. I'm going to traverse this world. And I'm going to have to deposit and withdraw. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to have to stay away from that corner. Because here is a perfect description of this corner. But he wasn't meaning just, I don't think this scripture was isolated just down to an adulterous place. This was the most serious in a man. You can look through the scriptures and prove this. But this is the strongest of desires that he's talking about. But this ain't the only one. The world has thrown its nets. And throw it's out there. And this is what it's saying. What's that going to bring you? Where is that really going to get you in life? Where am I going in this life? I know I want to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But where are you going to get? How are you going to get there? Where are you going in this life? Am I going to be someone? Lord, I'm going to tell you the truth. We need, as God's people, we need more teachers. We need more people to pray. We need more devoted people to go and to do. We need more of that.
Amen.
Going to the corner is never going to get it.
That's
going to destroy, and you may say that it doesn't amount and it's not going to really do it, but we've seen the shipwreck marriages. We've seen the hurt and the harm. We see what it does to the mind. It's more than just, it does it to the mind and spirit. It does it more than that. It's going to have an effect on it. So no wonder he says, doth wisdom cry? Yeah, I saw a young man, he was void of understanding. He didn't understand where this is going to take you. You don't really understand what you're going to do. No, I went in freedom. I'm free. I'm free. I can walk to any corner I want to. I can go anywhere I want to. True. True. You walk to any corner you want to. But there's a corner you shouldn't flirt with. Now, I'm saying, I know how this works. It works incrementally to where a little taste of it, and I'll just go look. But I'm going to stay a distance away from that corner this time. There should be a respect to that corner to stay away from it. We need to stay away from that. Where are you going? You know, men in the Bible, Samson's a perfect example of a man's man almost. He's represented as the strong man, right? The Spirit of the Lord would come on him and, he'd tear the gate off the city. I mean, it's impressive, us guys. That's strong. You pull that off and it's impressive. And Samson was the impressive guy. He thought he was invincible. He could do anything he wanted. He liked to flirt around with the women of the other places. They said, Samson, why can't you just get you a girl here? Why don't you get you a good girl? Nah, he flirted around with this, and the Spirit of the Lord always did come on him. He always was managed to do that. Do you know that in a way, Samson was a simpleton?
Yes, that's right.
He was a simpleton. He had a special gift of God for the people of Israel. He was a gift to them. He was an important person to them. And yet he squandered that because he went to the corner. He pointed his toes the wrong way. He should have pointed his toes the other way and said, Lord, I'm going to be faithful to you. You picked the right one. But he didn't. And then what ends up happening to him? Well, I won't go through the story. You know the story. He lost that gift. And he was like any other man. And when he rose up, just like he did before, he wist not. He didn't know that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. He didn't even know the condition that he was in. And all of a sudden, there is his enemies with grins on their faces and laughing at him. The devil going to laugh at you. The devil going to draw you away like this. Oh, she come with perfumes and she was dolled up and she come and she presented a loveliness and what a wonderful thing. She presented it all right and she didn't know that he didn't know the dart in the liver. He didn't know what the end of that thing going to be. This is what the end of it is. Where are you going today? Where is that really going to take you at the end of this? I'll tell you where it took Samson. The first thing they did, they got him to put his eyes out. They ain't growing back. They ain't growing back. We're not going to ever have to fool this guy again. We're going to put his eyes out, and then he became a toy of what he used to be. Then you know what they did? They praised their gods because their gods had delivered Samson into their hands. And now here was the mighty Samson that had troubled them so many times. And now they make sport with him. Every time they wanted something fun to do, they'd get Samson out. Bring out the mighty hero of the Israelites. We're going to show the power and might of our God. Let's sport around with him. Poke him with a stick. Oh, now do something. Now do those things. Had he known that that's where he was going. Boy, I'm going to tell you, it takes a wake-up call sometimes. But sometimes we can't see to the end of it. But wisdom cries, you think you're better than Samson. Are you stronger than Samson? Are you better than Samson? So what happens to the wise man, the great wise man that wrote all of these things? What happened to this man? Young men, he was a woman or women. It was a going away, and he... After all this, they turned his heart.
Yes.
How did that happen to someone that had all the understandings that he had? But it happened. Lord, help us. Where are we going? Over in Genesis. Oh, I think I want about the 13th chapter. Okay, I'll go with the 10th verse. Well, I'll go with the 9, but I'll set a little bit of this verse. This is the story of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. And there come the story goes this way. Uncle Abraham and Lot had their herds, and they were in close vicinity to one another, and so their herdsmen started squabbling with one another about space and all that, it sounded like. And so Abraham was the wise head here, and he says to Lot, he says, We be brother. We're family. Let's not contend. Let's separate out. And to make it, I think this was the mindset that Abraham had, to show that I'm not trying to pull something on you. You pick. I'll go whichever way you don't, I'll go the other way. You just pick. So, ninth verse. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot sojourned east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. He pointed his direction. Here is a pivotal moment in the life and experience of a man. Right here is the moment that this became evident, that wisdom should have begat a sister. This sister should have been employed. Here is the time to say, where am I going? What do I really want out of life? Wisdom that would say, I can swap forever. I can swap forever for a few moments of pleasure. Here it is. This is what wisdom's going to tell you. I can give my wife to this. I can give some children to this. I can swap my integrity. I can give up all of this. I can do that forever. For my eternity. I can give up this. This is the moment. And he pitched his tent. He pitched it this way. I'm going to go towards this. Well, if you go this way, Lot, where are you going to go? What's driving your heart and mind to go that way? Maybe it started out as just a simple indifference about Sodom and Gomorrah. It might have been a simple indifference. I don't care about it.
Yes.
You should care about it.
That's right.
That's the point. You should care about it. Well, I don't care about that. I never. Okay, you better care about it. And he pitched his tent. I don't know. You'd have to give me a lot of liberty because the scripture don't say, but it doesn't say how fast he run down there to Sodom and Gomorrah either. He just pitched his tent that way. He migrated that way. He took off that way. He may have not lost sleep about it. He may not have thought about it. He might have went on with his business every day, getting a little closer to the cities. Every day, maybe going in for supplies after a while. Maybe going in and seeing it. Maybe going in and tasting it. Maybe going in and touching it. But he pitched his tent that way. And that's the direction he started. That's the direction he goes. That's where he goes and ends up at. That's what he had done. Do you know that cost that man? I know the Lord saved him for Abraham's sake. But that cost him dearly. And for me to say, Lord, help us. I think I'll try the world for a while. Oh, I want to tell you, if we could bring back the people that found God in the end of their life, and God saved them wonderfully and blessed them, that all of their life they mourned what they had done to their children over the years. They mourned their lost children, their lost grandchildren. They mourned those that had went completely away because they skipped a place of their faith. Because they turned away, they pitched their tent towards another place. And they escaped out of the place, and thank God for that. But those that they loved didn't. Do you know that Lot made a decision when he pitched his tent for his wife? He made a decision for her. He pitched his tent and he took her down there. And through all of that, somehow it seems as if she got contaminated. She got something that she couldn't let go of. She got something in her heart. Something got in there. So Lord, help us. Which way are you pointing your toes? Young people, I would recommend that you point your direction towards the things of God. We ain't expecting a super spiritual person. God knows where you're at and knows that you're young and knows all those things. I'm saying point your direction the right way. Let the Lord lead you in that. God can bless you in that. Yeah, there may be things that you don't understand and don't know. You're not required to know it all. You're not required to do it all. The warning that I have for you today is that if you take off the wrong direction, you're going to end up in the wrong place. And it's worse than you can ever imagine it being. It's a lot of hurt and suffering and harm there in that place. This is what this all teaches us. Do you think that our nation, honestly, it baffles my mind that educated, smart people otherwise that know how to function and do things and they can calculate and they can do math and they can do the greater things of that can't simply understand that God made us male and female. And there's actually an argument for that. It baffles my mind where people have went because they pointed their toes a direction and wanted to believe something. And if you want to believe it, you will. And where you'll go when you do that. It's an amazing place where our world's going. Our country's going. We don't want to go there. We don't want to see the heartache and suffering in your family. We don't want to see you dysfunctional. I don't want to be dysfunctional. And I'm going to tell you something. Without the Lord, I'm dysfunctional. And I know it. And I want to be functional. I want to be what it was. If I've got to acknowledge something and say I'm not what I ought to be, is that really a shame? Would somebody answer? Is it really a shame? Would y'all be ashamed of me if I said, hey, I'm not being what I ought to be? You pray for me, I ought to be what that. No, we've all been in those kind of places. Lord, help us. Which way are we going? What's our desire? What are we trying to accomplish in our lives? I want to be more like Christ. But I don't even know what that means sometimes. I don't know how to get there. I've told this story before, but I remember the times that I prayed earnestly for the Lord to help me with things. He always does. And I was praying one time, Lord, I want to be more like you. In my mind, I wanted it to be a supernatural work that I didn't have to think about. I mean, you know, Lord, I want to be more like you, and wow, I feel more like the Lord. But I was sincere. I want to be more like the Lord. I pointed in my direction that way. Lord, I want to be like you. And there was no way the Lord didn't, oh, I'm spiritual and love everybody. I mean, I'm better. No, you know what he done? He put me in a situation just like he was in one time. He put me into a situation to where someone was reviling me. And I had done nothing but good all my life for them people and didn't have anything in my heart but doing good for them. And then they was reviling me for that. And I got to self-pity over it and started pitying the Lord. Well, I only wanted to do good and all this. And the Lord said, that's just what they did to me. You want to be more like me? I'll let you be like more like me. I'll let you learn what it's like to love people that don't love you. Do you know I want to love people that don't love me? But that's a challenge sometimes. I want to look at everybody, every soul, everybody, no matter what they are. I want to look at them like God looks at them. But that's not a human quality all the time. Sometimes we get challenged by that. Do you know if I don't point myself towards that, I'm not going to go there. I've got to point myself towards Lord, I want to be like you. And you said you love everybody. You died for everybody. I see this hideous move in the world of all this evil stuff, and I cringe and want to wait. I just want to call it evil and step back, and I don't want to do it. And yet you reached out. Yet you loved. Well, Lord, the only way I can be more like Christ is to point my toes towards it, to point my direction to it, to say, Lord, I want to be like you. Wisdom teaches me if I don't plant it, I won't reap it. The wisdom tells me that those that went before us, that really become godly, that really had the essence of it, they gave themselves to it. This isn't part-time. Wisdom tells me that part-time people don't do that well. I went to a Napa one time at 12 o'clock on a Saturday. And me and another fella, neighbor, we got there. The sign, they was open till 12. And we got there just a couple minutes before 12. And the guy working in there closed the door. And we was like, wait a minute, we got here on time. We needed to park. And I looked at the guy and said, that guy don't own the store. That guy just works here. I didn't know that. I'm saying, I found out later I was right. That guy just works here, and it doesn't matter, a few minutes doesn't matter. If that had been the owner, he'd open the door. If it had been, it wouldn't matter to you. Do you know that if we don't have nothing in this wisdom teaches us this. If I don't have something in this, if I don't have some skin in the game, if this isn't something that's meaningful, if I haven't sold out to this, it doesn't matter. Will it be good to have the meeting or not? I mean, it doesn't. No push, no extra. You know, where are we going? What am I, if I don't read and pray, what am I going to end up being? If I don't go to services, now I know there's different, just for the record, I really don't believe that everyone's called to a public prayer. I think there's a gift. Everybody's called to prayer, but not public prayer. God, we've been required to sing. We're told to sing, we're commanded to sing. Not everybody has a gift of singing. We're supposed to all sing, Brother Michael, but not everybody sings. Not everybody sings specials, because it's not the gift. There's a gift in it, and we all know the difference. Okay? We all know that. Where are we going? Lord, do I even have a gift? Yes. Yes, of course you do. You have a gift. Lord, help us. Where are we going? What do I want to be in this? Lord, do I want to be all that you would have me to be? Do I want to find the reality of God in this? What kind of a grandparent am I going to be? You got to ask yourself, what do you want to accomplish here? What am I going to be? Wisdom cries to us and says, you can have this. I've had some remarkable people in my life that I've looked at and said, I want some of that. Wisdom said that Brother Salmons sold out. And he had something. Yes. He had something in his message. He had something that he could give. He had a power of prayer. He sold out to it and he had something. I looked at that and said, there's wisdom in that. Yes. He gave something to that. And I admired him. Yes. It wasn't all about preaching. We had people in our congregation that had the most remarkable grace on their life. We had a brother up there. I think this is okay to say. Everybody kind of knew it. He could sure be long-winded. He could have one of the longest dismissal prayers that I ever heard. And Brother Mansell probably knows who I was talking about. But he could sure pray out. But I want to tell you something. When it come down to the end of his life, he had a big cancer come on his face. We went to see him. Thought we'd encourage him. I'm going to tell you what. I was so encouraged when I got out of there from listening to that man that had grace. And he told me right there, he said, Brother Marty, it ain't the cancer on my face that's going to get me. He said, I got it all through me. I can feel it. Wasn't long after that that he did pass away, but that man had a grace on him and he had something on him. And I looked at that and said, what do I want? It's not about all of the rules and regulations and all that. It's what do I, where am I going? Lord, I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful. Lord, help me to be faithful. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to just end up faithful. You're going to point your toes towards faithful. You're going to have to go towards faithful. You're going to have to start being faithful. If you start being faithful, you can be faithful. You're going to have to start being faithful. God said He's going to build up our most holy faith. He's going to work with us and deal with us. He's going to get to the place He's not going to forsake you with it. He's going to give you the ability. My dear old grandmother, such an inspiration in my life. No, she never preached to anybody but her grandchildren and her children. But she didn't preach. She didn't make a big splash or anything. But she was a woman that stood by herself in almost all the situations she was in. Nobody was with her in her faith but her. And she stood there solidly anyway. She stood there loving the Lord anyway. And she, when she come down to the end of her life, her testimony to me was, knowing that she was about to go, she just simply said, Marty, I'm tired and I want to go home. And I said, boy, would I like to have that. But my grandmother pointed her direction toward that. She lived for the Lord. She gave all for the Lord. She looked forward to the time that she could be with the Lord. She put everything in there. When it come down to the end of it, that's where she was at. She was right there with her hand raised saying, come, Lord Jesus. You know how she got there? She pointed her direction that way. She began to live that way for the Lord. And you can look at the faithful ones in the Scriptures. There were several. But Job. Oh, Job. Wow, Job. He pointed his direction away. He pointed his direction. God giveth and God taketh away. I'm keeping my integrity with God. Everybody around him seemed to turn. They looked at the physical. They looked at what we would have too if we didn't read the story. We'd have looked the same way. I mean, what happened to his life? He had all this stuff going and all this tragedy. And we know God knows and God's in control. So it must have been God and this is the way it is. And he kept his integrity anyway. I've had to repent before the Lord because of Job. Because it said he charged not God foolishly. And there's been times I've murmured and had to say, Lord, I'm sorry that I murmured. It wasn't like Job did. Job didn't do that. Bless the Lord. And he pointed himself towards a way. And he ended up at the place that he had pointed. I think of Paul, Apostle Paul. Really the apostles, but the Apostle Paul, he pointed himself a direction. And he kept going that direction. And he did not let the things of the world deter him from his direction. Not shipwreck, not beatings, not scourgings. He did all of that. And when he come down at the end of it, and surely he needed the grace of God. Of course he did, but he pointed himself and God met him with that. And he went a direction. This is the way I'm going to go. And he went that way. And then he had a testimony at the end. Well, I would like for it to be my testimony. If I could write my own epitaph on my tombstone, it would be Paul's. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. And oh, wow. Of all the false prophets, the beast at Ephesus, the shipwrecks, the whippings, the beatings, the prisons, all of that, I've kept the faith. I still believe. I still believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How can a man do something like that? There was a day that he pointed his direction. There was a day that he said, just as surely as Lot pointed his direction and said, he pitched his tent towards Sodom and he ended up in the evils and had to pay the punishment for the evils of Sodom. And then so was it also with Paul. He pointed himself to a direction. Where are you going? At the end of his life, he was able to say, there's a crown laid up for me. didn't even sound like he kicked too hard. That's amazing. It didn't sound like he was doing it. He just simply said, you know, there's a crown laid up for me. But he didn't stop there. You set yourself on this direction. There's a crown for you too. For all of those that love his appearing, for all of those that have set themselves to this direction, we're going to have to set ourselves to the direction. And I want to say again, I find this dangerous, and I want it to be a public thing with us because it's dangerous.
Yes.
Handle it well, folks.
Right.
Handle it well. Put what safeguards you have to. I see the results of it. I see the results of it.
Yes.
I prayed the prayers for it.
Yes.
It's a dangerous thing.
Yes.
We need to be mindful of that because if we set ourselves in that direction, we're going to down the road for every one of you that don't. You're going to go somewhere with that. And it's going to have a result on it. And wisdom tells us it's going to have a result on it. Whether it's something that you can understand or not, there's going to be disrespect for you, yourself. There's going to be disrespect for your wife. There's going to be disrespect for those around you. There's going to be an effect for the things that you get a hold of and what it does to you inside. There's going to be an end to that thing. And the further that you're down the road, the more it's going to pay. There's going to be something paid for that. And we're going to see it over and over and over. And what we really want to do is avoid that.
Yes, right.
Where are you going? That's my little message for the day. Where are you going? I see fairly often I'll go to grocery stores or something like Walmart, something like that. And I'll see a child completely out of order. Little 2-year-old, 3-year-old child just tearing it up. Just throwing a tantrum, throwing themselves in the floor, jerking stuff off the rack. I've seen them right at the cash register throw themselves down in the floor and just throw a fit. You really blame the child? I mean, really, you're going to blame a 2-year-old child? Remember one time I saw one of my children done something and it really didn't sound good, but it sure sounded familiar. It's really hard for me to be disciplinarian when I just heard myself.
Yes.
I heard me respond. I heard them respond to their mother the way I respond to their mother. It was a direction. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to be able to do it. We can't change the world around us. There's going to be a lot to have to deal with in this world. But Lord, help us to go the right direction. And be sound of mind and sound of spirit. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.